I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at CareerCycles.com and founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, Canada's unique podcast conversation that enriches lives, empowers careers, and energizes organizations. Self-confessed career geek Felicity Morgan is director of the Career Center at the University of Toronto at Mississauga. The Career Center serves over 14,000 UTM students with 15 staff. Felicity Morgan joins me live in studio. Welcome to Career Buzz, Felicity.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
So let's talk about the Career Center at UTM. Like, I, as an undergrad, never walked into my career center. And having worked at career centers, I realized that a big fraction of students never set foot in their career center. And, you know, the small fraction that do, great, they get this amazing service. So if a student or a recent grad is listening and kind of is clueless like I was about their career center, what happens inside one of those places?
Well, our goal is to really meet the student where they're at. So some students don't have a big sense of where they want to go. And so our job there is to really help them figure that out. So who am I? What do I like? You know, what's my background? What intrigues me? You know, all those great questions, kind of more philosophical and broad, but they really help you to get some sense of direction. And then from there, not expecting that people make their decision right away, because it's a process. It takes time. You have to learn, you know, as I mentioned, I learned about myself, even as a career professional moving away, I learned a lot. So we encourage our students to really get out and explore. Lots of career exploration, lots of gaining experience, because that's where you really start to test out what you think about yourself and what you believe or think you know about the world and whether that's actually true or not.
So kind of testing, you got theories about whether you'd like to be an X or a Y or a Z. Check it out and maybe gather some evidence against that theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes there's a lot of careers out there that are never written about, right? You'll never see them in a book, you'll never see them online. It's actually by going out there that you learn what those careers are and what might work best for you.
Right on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's coming at it from the student's point of view. I know there's also this role as a career center to coordinate employers, to be connected on the employer side. And you know, I don't love the word match, but, you know, I think a lot of people say, geez, just match me with that job. So what is the role of the career center with regard to employers?
Well, definitely, I think our role is to facilitate as much connection with employers as possible. And sometimes that's around jobs, for sure. You're right. That's something that's top of everyone's mind. Everybody wants to work and have a good, fulfilling career. But even before that, sometimes just bringing employers on campus just to meet with students and talk to students, that's really, really helpful. So we do lots of networking events and different kind of meet and greet formats. We call them pop-ups sometimes or coffee chats where employers can really just chat with students in that less pressure-filled atmosphere. You know, when you're looking for a job and you're meeting with an employer, that is really, really hard sometimes. So if you can have some more of these more informal opportunities, that helps. Definitely we're there to help students connect with employers for work. We work with our tri-campus partners, the other two campus career centers at St. George and Scarborough, to try to reach as many employers as we can so they can see our U of T students and recent grads as well.
And I know UTM has a certain reputation and a focus on certain kinds of programs. What is the specialty? What kind of students find their way to UTM?
Well, there's quite a variety. The undergraduate population certainly has, we have a lot of arts and science kind of based programs, commerce and management. I'd say some of the ones that really stand out to our employers are our CCIT program. So that's communication, culture, and information and technology, which is a really neat kind of mix of graphic and artistic pieces, but coupled with technology and always that kind of communication piece as well. So a lot of employers are really interested in that. And since right now, I don't want to go to the hot jobs thing where everyone should do a certain job. But right now, certainly social media is big on a lot of employers' lists. So our CCIT students are really, really primed for that. We have, of course, our forensics program. It's been established for many years. That's also very popular with employers. And our commerce and accounting programs, certainly, too. But I would say our employers are also really impressed with our arts and science students because they bring a lot of those transferable skills that employers are really looking for. I don't know if you noticed, Mark, there was a study last week or early this week from executives saying they really need our students to have strong transferable skills. So I think arts and science students have those as well, and they demonstrate that well. our job is to really help them to understand, articulate, and really leverage that when they are meeting with employers. So that's part of the preparation before they even get to that job piece.
Well, you're being a good ambassador for those arts and science students, because I know sometimes they feel at a bit of a loss. You know, they sometimes envy their engineering peers or accounting peers, because it looks like the dots connect more easily in those fields of study. But you mentioned this all-important word, transferable skills, and I think we hear that word a lot. And if a listener is sitting there and kind of saying, well, you know, what the heck does she mean? Can you name a couple?
Communication skills, teamwork, problem solving. Those are probably the top ones. I mean, there's lots of studies and reports on what employers are looking for, but those come across consistently. You know, when you start your career, usually you're there to help the team get the job done. So being able to communicate well, being able to work as a team, and being able to handle and solve the day-to-day problems that come up, that's really, really important to employers. And I think our students do have that. We just need to work harder with them and with employers to bring everyone together.
Yeah, trick is to articulate them. Mm-hmm. I know they've done some work at Memorial University out in Newfoundland to have some career professionals come into the classroom and try and help both professors and students name the skills, not the knowledge, but the skills like teamwork you mentioned and problem solving, so that people really get it, that they're gaining these skills and it's not just the knowledge that they've gained. But it's a hard thing. Somehow it's a hard threshold for people to pass through.
Well, I think because often we tend to, in society, value those technical skills in some way more, although employers tell us the transferable skills are key to getting the job done. So we're going with the employers in the sense of paying attention to their needs, but also kind of fighting against the tide, I think, of kind of, I don't want to say myths, but the ideas that folks have out there about what's important in the job world.
So Felicity, things have been changing over time. It's more expensive than ever to get a university education. People are noticing trends, worrying trends about underemployment, precarious employment. And so I guess things have been shifting, and as students and maybe their parents too come to a career center, what have you been noticing? What's been happening over the past few years in terms of those concerns of students, recent grads, and maybe even parents?
Yeah, I think there is quite a bit of career anxiety out there. And when we do surveys as institutions, we find that's one of the big challenges students see in their future is, what am I going to do for my career? As you said, it's very expensive to go to university. They spend a lot of time, energy, money. And we do get those questions from parents too. We do a lot of work, you know, community-based work. We are at all our open houses and events. We're going out in the fall to a high school just to talk with parents, because it is really important that everybody get that big picture. I mentioned before the kind of hot jobs. People want to know what the hot jobs are. And we know that what's hot today maybe very cool tomorrow. We've seen that lots of times. I'd say in the last 20 years or so, jobs that go down very quickly. So we tend not to go that way. We tend to talk more about how you need to develop good career management skills. You need to be able to really understand yourself and articulate, as we said before, who you are, what you have to offer, not just in skills, but also in personality and values and enthusiasm, things like that. You need to know what some of the options are out there for you and have a sense of how you can contribute to those options. And sometimes that means making your own option, of course, but sometimes it means going to an organization and working with them there. And I think the other kind of overlaying piece of all of that is being able to manage change and see opportunities as they come along. So when we talk to students and parents, we try to emphasize to them, we're not a matching service, because nobody can be a matching service nowadays. Things are happening way too fast in all aspects of our lives. So it's really helping students develop good career management skills. That's our mandate, and that's what we're trying to do, so that as they work their way through this while they're with us and after they graduate, they're able to really handle the changes and profit from the things that are going on around them.
What about employers now? In terms of on-campus recruitment and other stories you're hearing about employers recruiting recent grads, what trends are you noticing there?
Well, it's this bit of push-pull, I would say. You know, there's lots of reliance on technology and social media to try to attract students and get conversations going. And then also both sides want that personal contact. So trying to help employers maximize the social media efforts that they make, but also encourage them, and they're quite happy to come on campus and meet with students in different kinds of ways. Sometimes people really look to things like job fairs, but there's a certain kind of recruiting that works best at job fairs, and then there's other kinds of recruiting that doesn't. So employers who have a lot of students to hire or who really want to cast a broad net, job fairs are great for them. But employers who know maybe they only have a couple of positions, so coming to a job fair is not really the way. They really actually want to get closely connected with the students. So I think, you know, it's funny because social media has enabled a lot of things, and in some ways it has also just added another task for the employers, because now they have to do that as well as the in-person recruiting, because they see the value in both.
So we've got technology now as another topic, social media being one piece of it. I know students are perennially frustrated with these applicant tracking systems, ATSs, where, you know, those things where you have to answer a zillion questions and upload your content, and then, you know, it just seems like an elaborate screening system. What about technology as it applies to the whole career center experience, both from the self-awareness piece, tools to help people understand themselves, and then from the kind of connecting between students and employers? What are you noticing there?
I think there's a couple of pieces to that. I think there's, you still have to have that basic knowledge of yourself to be able to connect well with employers. And there are tools that will help with that. I think that sometimes that's the role of the career counselor, of course, is to help with looking at the information that you know about yourself and helping you to see it in an objective manner. So we do use some technology to help kind of gather some of that info, but it's always really helpful to have the conversation either in an appointment or a workshop or in some way with somebody who can be that neutral kind of third party person to help you kind of work through what you're seeing in front of you. In terms of employers and applicant tracking systems, I think the word of advice I would have there is whatever box they give you, fill it in with relevant information, because you never quite know how that's going to be filtered. So taking advantage of every opportunity you have in whatever system that they present you with to make sure that you present yourself as strongly as you can in a way that's relevant to them. That's the key. I think obviously the big one right now is LinkedIn. In terms of both for career information, it's a great way for people to go and see what did people do with a psychology degree or an English degree or a biology degree or an engineering degree. To see people's career paths, I think, is actually really empowering because it lets you know that there's not one way to get somewhere. So for career information, LinkedIn's helpful. It's also, of course, very helpful for employers because it's just another way to check people out. And I will admit that when I have a job that I'm filling, I will check the person's LinkedIn because it allows me to see, you know, they've presented me, hopefully, with a very tailored application through our applicant tracking system at U of T. And then I look at their LinkedIn to kind of compare. And obviously, they're not going to be the exact same thing. But I want to see consistency. I want to see threads between them both.
Nice. So Felicity, just to pull some threads together of this conversation and wrap up in a moment, what's one thing you can share from your experience about making good choices, career-wise, life-wise?
I think not to make any assumptions. That's the key, because if you assume, we all know the old saying, but I think you can not see kind of your own biases. You can not identify opportunities that might be right there, but your biases prevent you from seeing them. So don't make assumptions around what you think. Check it out. Talk to people. Check yourself out internally and see, you know, is this really the right thing for me? Because then I think you make a more balanced and informed career decision. It may not always be right because sometimes there's stuff we don't know, but you know, you can only do the best decision. You can only make the best decision with the info that you have in front of you. So get that info in front of you.
Right on. I like that. A balanced and well-informed decision. Felicity, thanks for sharing your story here on Career Buzz.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Find us on iTunes or visit careercycles.com/radio to subscribe and download past episodes. Get inspiring career stories full of twists and turns, actionable ideas from career experts, and new ideas to empower your own career in life.